Mortgage could help you get there for home loan solutions that fit your life well. Rock, you can. Welcome on in. Zach Gelb Show on a Thursday, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Could always follow along on Instagram and Twitter. Give a follow, send a message, at Zach Gelb, Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. So Elijah Stewart is here with us today. Hickey's out the next 2 days. Hot take, Hickey. He's in Alabama right now for the game that's not so big, but he thinks it's very big. Auburn-Penn State football game. I saw he was relaxing at a pool today. You know, I tried to help him out. I tried to tell him how you tailgate and all that stuff. He's going to bar hop on Saturday before the game. When you go to a football game, you got to tailgate. But as you know, this is a running bit on this show. Hickey and I, we get into intense debates about food. So now, since I have a new producer for today and Elijah Stewart, and then Connor Green's going to be here for tomorrow, I think you're pretty sane, Elijah.
Okay, it's pretty sane. I'll take that. Just like you take football story in your bio, I'll put pretty sane in mine. How about that?
I think for a lot of the part-timers around here, you're one of the more respected part-timers here. I was very impressed when you filled in on the first time on the show that I even sent a note to management. I don't even know if I told you this, where I told Spike and David that, hey, that's one of the best people that we have here. Let's start giving him more work and all that stuff. So I think very highly of you.
Appreciate
now, that could end potentially in this segment, but I want you to honest because I respect honesty. So Hickey is just absolutely terrible when it comes to food. The dude eats like he's a three-year-old. All he has each and every night is pasta. He does not like regular chicken wings. He only likes chicken nuggets. So number one, do you like chicken wings, or are you one of those people that do the boneless chicken wings?
No, bone-in and chicken wings are probably my favorite food.
Thank you. Thank you. Same here. See, now
we're off to a good start here.
We're like having like a love language here. you talk buffalo wings, like that's just unbelievable. Now, here's another big test. Ranch or blue cheese?
Blue cheese always.
Yes! There we go.
Two for two.
Now, here's the big one. Sunday night football, after an entire day of watching games, so whatever the game is, this weekend, it's Bears and the Green Bay Packers. When you're getting ready for a big order of food for dinner on Sunday night, do you find it appropriate to order Chinese food on Sunday night right before Sunday night football?
It's a weird choice. I love Chinese food, but
you blew it.
So you're a pro Chinese food for Sunday night football?
I'm one of the biggest advocates of it. Last weekend, I had my General Tso's chicken. I had egg roll. I had lo mein. I had chicken and broccoli.
I mean, I love everything you're saying, but
good.
Sunday to me now, maybe it's my household that I grew up in. Sunday night football is a Sunday night big dinner at my house. So you know, my mom's making lasagna or like meatloaf, something like that. You know, like
that sounds
like
good
football food. So
yeah, that sounds
so
good.
Like Sunday, because it's usually a family at the table while the TV's on kind of night. It's weird that that's a takeout night in my head. Like in my head, that's always someone's cooking.
Well, now I do Eye on Football from 12 to 8 p.m.
Right,
on
so that
Sundays.
Makes sense. And I'll be with you this week.
God bless you. That's a wonderful shift. But usually, if I was to not do Eye on Football, like before I've been doing it the last 2 years, I would have for lunch, like there'd be pigs in the blanket, we get Italian, we do all that, and then you just needed a little different extra fix, and that's where I would bring in the Chinese food every Sunday night. That's just when you go through the entire day of watching it. Now, it's funny you say this, because Big Zoo, who you know who works around
Love
here.
Zoo
loves Chinese food on a Sunday night football. I don't think that surprises anybody. And then Scott Hansen, we convinced him, or I convinced him, because I asked him, what do you eat after the first red zone of the year? And he threw out all these options. He said Italian or Mexican, or I really do like Chinese. And then I told him and filled him in on our running fight between Hot Take Hickey and I. So you approved on the bone-in chicken wings. I approved on the blue cheese. Now, all I'm going to do is just ask you to try it. One Sunday night, don't have to be this one, but one Sunday night in football season, you order up Chinese, and I can't tell you, ever since Hickey and I went at this, like at it over this last week. How many people tweeted me on Sunday? I'm getting Chinese. I'm getting Chinese. You're 100% right. I had DoorDash drivers, Uber Eats drivers that were tweeting me saying, dude, I can't tell you how many people today order Chinese food. Now, I don't think it's all because of listening to the show. That would be nice if that's the case. But I just think I'm a little bit ahead of the curve than you guys.
Well, maybe it was your DoorDash driver that ghosted me last night who did not deliver my Thai food.
Oh, you had a DoorDash driver ghost you?
Ghost me. It was seamless. Ghosted me.
See, that's the worst. When you order food and you're starving,
yep,
and they give you the estimation, and sometimes it's like a 30-minute yeah window, so you assume it's going to be on the long end of what the estimated time is, not the short end. If they get there quicker, that's great. Awesome, wonderful, great. But so what happened?
So I ordered Thai food, and I ordered an hour before the place was closing.
I respect the Thai food decision, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, my girlfriend pushed the Thai food. I love Thai food, but it was her.
Would your girlfriend eat Chinese food on a Sunday night in football season, you think?
I think so. She loves Chinese food. Good. So I think she would be for it. So she pushed Thai. I said, good, I'll order it. Ordered it an hour before the place closed. It told me to arrive before the place closed. We were about now 20 minutes after the window. The place is about to close. I hit up Seamless saying, hey, what's the deal? I'm getting a little worried. They say, okay, just hang tight. Now, a half hour later, still no food. And now I'm on the phone with Seamless saying, do you want to cancel the order? I'm like, well,
I want my food.
Is my food somewhere in the ether? Yeah. Like, I will still eat it if it's out there.
Is it close?
Right. And they're like, we can't confirm.
Are we in the red zone?
Yeah. All we can say is that the food is supposed to be out for delivery. We can't confirm where the person is or what happened.
That's the worst.
So for me, I'm thinking about it. I'm like, is this a scam? Like, could someone have said, oh, I can get some free food by just taking the delivery, going out, and just never actually taking it and waiting for that person to cancel?
So you never got the food?
No, I had to cancel because otherwise I would have been waiting until whenever.
So what'd you guys end up doing?
So luckily,
at that point, don't you just have to like make some pasta?
No, so luckily, we're on this food conversation. My girlfriend loves making pizza.
Oh, I love making
pizza.
So
she has a bread maker and she makes dough. So she makes dough all the time. So she's like, well, I have this dough that I made from like last week that's, you know, been in the refrigerator that I need to use anyway. So let me just throw a pizza on. So very fortunately for me and for her, we were able to adapt and she was able to make pizza.
What kind of pizza you make?
So she makes usually a pepperoni pizza. Ooh. And the secret trick, though, and you're talking about me trying Chinese food. You got to try this.
Yeah.
Drizzle some hot honey.
Oh, please. You think that's a secret trick?
Okay, I want to make sure, because some people
I was leading the hot honey charge on pizza.
All right, so good stuff there.
Like,
so,
how I'm leading the Justin Jefferson for MVP case this year? That was me 3 years ago, get hot honey on a pizza.
Okay, so me and you were definitely on the same page, because I've been on that for a while. So drizzle the hot honey on there. And
delicious.
Cut a basil or two, and you're done.
Little red pepper flakes too.
Beautiful.
Wonderful. Okay.
It was eaten at 10:30, which was a little unfortunate, but
is what it is. You know what? You saved yourself for the no Chinese food on a football Sunday on Sunday night. You saved yourself with the pizza story. That was good. The two longest times I ever waited for a food order, one I waited. The other one was did not have to regard me, but it was a crazy story. One time, I was in Philadelphia, and I had to wait 2.5 hours. Now, they told me it was going to be 30 minutes, but the food didn't come for 2.5 hours.
That's insane.
And I called. They said, it's on its way. And then 2.5 hours, like you order something else, and the food comes. You're like, what do you do with the food? But when I was in college, when you're in insomnia cookies is like everyone's go-to when you're in college, whether you're drinking, you're smoking, whatever it was, or just up late studying, right? Up late studying. And people would order insomnia cookies. So my buddy, who I'll keep nameless, he ordered insomnia cookies. I'll never forget this. Phone call from the guy. I'm not going to be able to bring your insomnia cookie order. My friend goes, "What? Like, why?" And let's just say it had a few alcoholic beverages. He goes, "I just got mugged."
Oh, wow.
So he goes, I'm going to go home and not deliver. My friend goes, sorry to hear that, but what about my cookies? So whenever now, like, we see this guy and there's like an awkward moment, we're like, oh, but what about the cookies? Because it's on speaker and we're like, well, this guy just got mugged. It's terrible. Like, ask if he's okay. And he's like, well, what about my cookies? Like, I paid for them. It was on credit card. So that was one of my friends with the
And it's funny when we have these issues with the delivery people, and shout out to the delivery drivers. And
love delivery drivers.
They are amazing and they do awesome stuff. But I do it is frustrating sometimes when, you know, you have that, you know, order that comes in late, like you said, 2.5 hours or maybe even half an hour later, and you say, and they show up and you're like, hey, here you go. You're kind of waiting for the explanation.
But it's usually not the delivery driver's fault.
No, it's usually
the restaurant.
Not,
that's why you don't stiff the delivery driver
right,
on the tip.
Exactly. But it's always like you're kind of hoping maybe you'll get a little explanation of what happened, and they got no time for you. They got another delivery to do.
It's kind of like when a football team makes a mistake. And let's say it's between a quarterback and a coach where the mistake was. But they don't make the quarterback or the coach available right after the game, which usually they do. But let's just say, like, the quarterback had an injury and the coach had an emergency. So they put out the second string wide receiver to speak to the media about the problems with the quarterback and the coach. And that second string wide receiver is like, they didn't have anything to do with me. I was on the bench. And I was making sure that there was Gatorade in the bottle or something like that. All right, so when we get to this week of football, it kicks off tonight with the Chargers and the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm just going to give you a quick thought about only the quarterback matchups in every game this weekend on the NFL docket. Chargers and Chiefs, I really need to give you a breakdown. You have Mahomes. You have Justin Herbert. This is for the Chiefs a chance to remind everyone, like they did last week, how great they are. And for the Chargers, it's a chance to go make a statement in that the first 2 weeks of the season, we beat the Raiders, and then we took down the top dog for the last few years in the NFL and in the AFC West in the Kansas City Chiefs. Jets and Browns. How Joe Flacco is going to be starting this game is a disgrace. It should be Mike White. And Jacoby Brissett, surprisingly, is in position, even though that's a run-first team with Chubb and Hunt, to start the year off 2-0. Commanders at Lions. This is the first time in 24 games that the Lions are a favorite. And this is a 1-2 quarterback matchup from their draft class when Jared Goff was picked number one overall by the LA Rams and Carson Wentz was picked number two overall by the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, Goff has only been on two teams. Wentz, this is now his third team. I don't usually pick Carson Wentz. This is a week, though, where I think Carson Wentz is going to outshine the other team's quarterback. I know last week you could tell me, oh, he was great. He almost cost them the game and then was able to make it up late. I'm going to ride this momentum wave, even though I don't think it's going to work long term with the Commanders. I do believe Wentz is going to outshine Jared Goff this week. That's just too fishy to me how the Detroit Lions are a favorite. Bucks and Saints. Brady's Tampa Bay kryptonite has been the Saints. Yes, he beat the Saints in the playoffs, but he has not beat them in the regular season since being the quarterback there in Tampa Bay. I have so much just trust in Brady. I said earlier in the week, I think they're going to the Super Bowl because that NFC, it's wide open. And when it's wide open, I usually would give the edge to Tom Brady. The big thought I have this week is really the offensive line for Tampa up against a good Saints defense. And then Tampa's defense up against the Cowboys looked like it was a Super Bowl defense from 2 years ago. So is Jameis going to be able to hold off the crucial turnover? Baker Mayfield and Daniel Jones. Baker Mayfield once called, I'm paraphrasing here, but the general gist, the Daniel Jones pick with the Giants, he said it was nonsensical and it was stupid and it was a bad idea. And then he walked it back and all that. We haven't heard much about that this week. If Baker, though, opens up this campaign losing to Jacoby Brissett, and then Daniel Jones, yikes. The Panthers are in big-time problems. Mac Jones, he's sick right now. He had a back issue early in the week, then today missed practice because he was sick. We'll see if he plays. If it doesn't, you're looking at Hoyer, you're looking at Bailey Zappe. But for the Steelers now, yes, they've had a lot of injuries. Najee Harris is expected to play in this game. TJ Watt obviously will not. It's a chance for the Steelers to start off 2-0, and Tomlin has had a lot of problems up against Patriot teams. He's 3-8 up against them in his career. This is one of those games where we're going to find out if the reports of the Patriots' demise are fair or greatly exaggerated. Now, I don't think the Patriots are going to the playoffs this year. I've said that. But the way that the conversation has been after week one, and deservedly so with the Patriots, is they're really bad offensively. This is a huge week for Matt Patricia, but if Mac Jones doesn't play, it's tough to really knock the Patriots. Colts at the Jaguars. Let me be clear. If the Indianapolis Colts lose again in Jacksonville to the Jaguars after tying the Texans last week in a game that they probably should have lost, I would fire Frank Reich on Monday. I would fire Frank Reich. I don't care that it's this early in the season. And now Michael Pittman's on the injury report with a quad injury. You bring in Matt Ryan. You have a Jaguars team that is not very talented. I know Trevor Lawrence is supposed to be a stud. You have to win this week. I do care how many points you win by because I'll lay the 3.5 here. But if you are a Colts fan, you better have one more point than the Jaguars on Sunday. Here's a matchup that I love this week. Tua against Lamar. For Lamar Jackson, he had 3 passing touchdowns last week. A few years ago, he was unanimous MVP. We know how great that guy could be. For Tua, you've had the Pats number. You beat him again last week. Now can you outshine the Baltimore Ravens, who last year, I know the Dolphins did beat the Baltimore Ravens, different circumstance. But this is another huge test and a potential early statement for Tua and Mike McDaniel. We talk about teams starting off 2-0. If they could start off 2-0, that's pretty impressive. Marcus Mariota against Matthew Stafford, I think Stafford's going to kill him. Russell Wilson's old team, the Seattle Seahawks, led by Geno Smith, going up against Trey Lance and the 49ers. I don't know if there's a quarterback under more pressure this week than Trey Lance. Because you lose to the Bears, and I know Seattle just beat the Broncos. But if you then lose to Geno, or you lose to the Bears and then Geno, you're going to start to hear a lot of talk. And that conversation, it's already happening, but it will just get louder and louder and louder about maybe Jimmy G replacing you. Cooper Rush against Joe Burrow. The Bengals offensive line has to give some help to Joe Burrow. The Bengals should roll the Dallas Cowboys. Davis Mills up against Russell Wilson. Nathaniel Hackett, you may be fired as well on Monday if you don't get this victory. I think Russell Wilson will take care of business. Kyler Murray against Derek Carr. This is another fascinating one. One of these teams, unless they tie, are going to start the year 0-2. Kyler Murray without DeAndre Hopkins. Derek Carr without an offensive line, pretty much. But you have Davante Adams, Darren Waller, and Hunter Renfrow. Carr should win this game this week. And I think it's more problematic for Carr if he loses this game than it is for Kyler Murray. Because Kyler, yes, he got paid. I don't want to hear the excuses, but at least he has the excuse because there's no DeAndre Hopkins there. Bears and Packers. Fields, Bears, give him credit. If it wasn't for that monsoon, they'd probably lose the game. Aaron Rodgers owns the Bears. He should own them this week once again. Tennessee played the Bills great last year, and they beat them. I'm not trusting Ryan Tannehill to get that offense clicking, though, this time around. I think Josh Allen rolls him. I saw the spread was 10 points. It's a big number for a team that was a number one overall seed last year in Tennessee. I don't know if I'm going to be able to. That's a game I stay away from, but I don't know if I'll be able to bet against Buffalo this entire year. And then you have Kirk Cousins and Jalen Hurts. Once again, we talk about teams going 2-0. One of those teams are going to go to 2-0. Kirk Cousins, Justin Jefferson, the return of Jalen Reagor to Philadelphia, which is an absolute joke because he stinks. But these two teams, I think, are both very even, very even. Eagles have better defense. But I think that's going to be the better of the Monday night football games that we're going to see. And there's a reason why they sent Joe Buck and Troy Aikman to that game instead of the first game between Tennessee and the Buffalo Bills. It is Zach.
Viator is the world's leading travel experience marketplace, offering everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. Extensive options, ease of selection, and flexibility at your fingertips help make sure your time is wonderfully spent. Viator is the place to go to book experiences that will create long-lasting moments that make lifetime memories. And Viator has over 300,000 bookable experiences to choose from in over 190 countries. In fact, just last year, Viator helped my family put together this amazing adventure on the island of Kona, swimming with the manta rays, trying to avoid the barracudas, whatever your wildest dreams. If you can imagine it, Viator probably has an experience just for you. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in Viator's world of wonderful experiences. Viator. One site, over 300,000 experiences you'll remember.
Help show on CBS Sports Radio. I want to spend a quick moment on the Tom Brady situation. I haven't really talked much about this because I do think it's a little bit bizarre when we're talking about someone's marriage. I get it. Brady, best quarterback of all time. The story's been the last 10 years, how much longer he's going to play. And he did retire for 40-something days this offseason and then quickly came back. And I said this early on in the process. This is not an I told you so moment. It's just the way that I thought about it. And I think it did turn out to be true. Because Hickey said, why would you retire and then come back? And I said to Hickey, I think he wanted this distraction to go away for a little bit, where if he didn't make a decision and he just said, yeah, we'll wait and see, people are going to keep on asking him and begging him, you know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? So just retire, knowing that his wife wanted him to retire. That's been clear. That's been clear if you've been following this story for the last 10 years, where Giselle would go, Tom, you won four. Do you need to go win more? Like when is enough enough? Then you win five. Then you win six. Then you win seven. Like, when are you going to walk away? You've done everything that you can. So I really do believe Brady retired this year to just buy him more time. Give Giselle in the interim what she wanted. Tom finally be a full-time dad instead of being quarterback and father, which is very tough to navigate. And it's not like Giselle is not just a nobody. She's a big-time supermodel. So I really do believe, and I've said this for now a while, that Brady retired for that short time just to try to convince Giselle behind the scenes. And eventually, Giselle said yes, I think. You could go back, but she wasn't happy with it. Like, this is how it probably went down. Babe, I really want to go play football again. If that's what you want to do, go ahead and do it. Now, you can interpret that. Oh, hey, that's a yes. I could talk myself into that being a yes, but that's not really a yes. That is, I'm telling you, I'm not going to tell you no. I'm not telling you yes. I'm telling you, you know my feelings on this. You don't need to ask the question. You do what you want to do. You know where I stand on this.
My girlfriend ever tells me, do you? I'm not doing me. Let me just say that.
Hey, babe, can we get some Thai food tonight? If that's what you want, Elijah, if that's what you want. And that's what happened with Tom Brady. And since Tom Brady's first love was football, he doesn't know how to say goodbye to the sport because let's be real. Even when Brady won his first ring, his response was, what's your favorite championship? The next one. And he still has that chip on his shoulder, or that mountain, or that boulder on his shoulder where he's still annoyed. I remember, it was the Super Bowl between the Ravens and the 49ers. I was talking to Ted Johnson, his former teammate. And Ted said to me, that dude's still pissed off for being the 199th overall draft pick. Like, that's just how he's wired. And for Brady, you came back last year in that playoff game. And you did enough to go put your team in overtime and the defense just collapsed. And you had an unbelievable comeback up against the Rams. There was some reports that he was retiring, then it leaked, right? Schefter and all those guys got out in front of him. You have the story, you have the story. They ended up being right for a little bit, and then Brady does come on back. But Brady has the competitors looking at this and looking at the landscape of the NFC and saying, Packers just lost to Devontae Adams. The Rams just won a Super Bowl. No one's repeated Super Bowl champions. Oh, yeah, since I did it back in the early 2000s when we beat the Panthers and then beat the Eagles. And you go through it, like, who else is great in the NFC? Minnesota's still got a lot to prove. Eagles still got a lot to prove. 49ers have a lot to prove. Cardinals have a lot to prove. So Brady, even though he has seven, even though he beat Belichick, even though he's accomplished everything that he can in his career, he's still motivated to go win. And clearly since there's a see, this is where Brady miscalculated. Brady thought, I go retire for a little bit, I could convince Giselle. You didn't convince Giselle. Because Giselle's wanted you to retire for the last 5 to 8 years. What you did was you teased her. You said you're retiring, and then she quickly knew, oh, this is a bunch of bull crap. And now she's mad because you went back to go play football. So I think it's pretty clear what's going on. Now, I'm not faulting Brady. I'm not saying, oh, yeah, Brady's in the wrong for the way that he handled it or any of that. That's between them. But I could just say what's being talked about. And I was reading this article, and it says the two are currently living separately. Another source close to Gisele Bündchen told CNN. Gisele then said publicly recently, I guess this interview was done a few weeks ago, but it just came out this week. This is a very violent sport, and I have my children, and I'd like him to be more present. I have definitely had those conversations with him over and over again, but I ultimately feel that everybody has to make a decision work for them. He needs to follow his joy too. Then Brady, who just said on his Let's Go podcast, I haven't had a Christmas in 23 years, and I haven't had a Thanksgiving in 23 years. I haven't celebrated birthdays with people that I care about that are born from August to late January, and I'm not able to be at funerals, and I'm not able to be at weddings. Brady told Jim Gray, I think there comes a point in your life when you say, you know what? I've had my fill, and it's enough, and time to go on to move into other parts of life. So I've said this all off season long. I think this is the last year for Tom Brady. And I think he now realizes, not to speculate on his marriage, that if he doesn't actually retire at the end of the year, and if they are living separately, that could be the end of his marriage. You know, I think that's something fair to at least think that could be a possibility. And also, you hear him now talking about how long it takes to recover, even with how much he praises the TB12 method. He wakes up and he was feeling sore on Monday after the game on Sunday. You're 45 years old, dude. It's so remarkable that you're still playing at an elite level and at a top five level, and you led the league in passing yards last year. You led the league in passing touchdowns. It's time to wrap it up. You know, you're able to decide how you want to end your career. But I think the signs are there. Like when Brady was leaving New England, there were signs that he was leaving New England. Me being a Patriot fan, I elected to ignore the signs. I elected to say, that's not reality. Oh, all you gossip people, bunch of baloney, shut up. What do you guys actually know? Now, being a little bit detached from the situation, now not rooting and thinking, oh, Brady, that's my guy, even though he's my favorite quarterback of all time. But since he doesn't play for my team anymore, you see the signs pop up once again that this is going to be his last year in the NFL. And he won one in Tampa, came up short last year. You get one more go around to go see if he could do it. And then next year, you're going to be 46. Like, you're 46, dude. You should have. You outdid everything that anyone thought about your career and then took it to the 1,000th degree or whatever, like infinity. It's absurd what you've done. So it does feel like it's time, and I do think that this will be it for Tom Brady in the NFL this year. 855-212-4CPS. Let me take Todd in Tampa Bay. Todd, what do you say?
Zach, let me have 60 seconds uninterrupted. I'll answer any questions because my pulse is on the Buccaneers, of course, since 1976. Okay, but the bottom line is this. Okay, yes, Gisele and Brady have their thing here. Brady's the best in the world. You have to understand, he's not the best in the world. He's the best ever to play the game, and he's still the best ever. And he should have won more MVPs that went to Aaron Rodgers when Brady won the Super Bowl. But that's that's a sidebar issue. Gisele's from Brazil. Tom Brady's American football is our game. If Brady was playing soccer, she would say keep playing.
I don't know about that. She wants him to be present. I don't think that has anything to do with it.
Yes, it does. Yes, Zach. Yes,
she's become a big football fan the last 10 years.
He's a fan, but her kids, they have kids. Those kids now, with the last name Brady, everyone's expecting them to be a quarterback at some college here and be like Archie Manning. That's how much pressure them kids are under. And this is a violent sport. Brady is the best. Brady could play till 50. Okay, and let me tell the Buccaneers something. We're throwing the ball in the end zone. We're inside the red zone with the greatest quarterback of all time. Capiche? Okay, that's the bottom line. Because the guy's a champion, and if he yells at you and you're a Buccaneer player, you better fall on your knees and look up to the God and say, thank you, Jesus, the greatest of all time is on my team, and he's yelling at me. Okay, because he's the greatest of all time, and he's going to win his eighth ball. I'll talk to you later. Peace.
You got it, Todd. What was that, like a WWE promo or something that Todd was cutting?
Todd is he's a frequent caller on the Jody Mack show.
Oh, no, Todd's called me a lot because I picked the Bucs when they won the Super Bowl, when Brady first got there. I said right before that game against the Chiefs and everyone's picking Kansas City, I picked Tampa Bay, and then for two straight weeks, Todd called in to just remind everyone, Zach Gelb was the only national name in America that picked the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But, man, like, why is he so angry? Because you know then the Bucks are going to suck once Brady walks away.
Yeah, he knows the goose is cooked.
Yeah.
In about an hour now.
Yeah, that's the reality. And I guess, you know, maybe there's a lot of Tampa fans that they want a piece of this pie for a long time. They don't want that pie to go away. So now they're going to go turn against Gisele Bündchen. I will not turn against
Gisele Bündchen.
And
Brazil, by the way.
Yeah.
The country of Brazil as well.
And also, that's the one part about sports that I hate. When we put pressure on athletes' sons or daughters to then go on and succeed in sports, like, it's always weird to me. Now Arch is going to Texas, so it's different. That we were, like, showing Arch Manning's high school games. That was always bizarre to me. Or the obsession about Bronny James. We're already talking about what team Bronny James is going to go play for before he even plays a year of college basketball. So those conversations are always weird to me. Right now, do I think the Brady kids have any pressure to go play football? I don't think so. Your dad is Tom Brady, so everyone probably expects that the two sons are going to go play football. But I think the older son, he really did grow. He looks tall, looks just like Tom. If he wants to go play football, go ahead. But not every kid, just because your dad's Tom Brady, is going to want to go play in the NFL. But I thought that was an interesting way for Todd to put it.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All right, let's start things off with the Cheeseheads. Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay Packers, and Aaron Rodgers says he's not going to change how he plays with his new wide receivers.
I got to play the same way. You know, I don't play the way I played in 2011. It's, you know, I got to play on time, and guys got to get open. So, no, I'm not going to change the way I play. We just have to realize who's out there, who we're thrown to, and how we're going to actually make some hay and score some points.
That's simple. Got to catch the football. Did anyone have a problem with the way that Rodgers threw the ball to Christian Watson, who was wide open and had a walk-in touchdown? No. Everyone would have been like, oh, what a great play. It was unbelievable. It was sensational. You got to catch the ball. You know, if it has to be like the replacements, where you have to go do you know what and get that on your hands with the elephant in the whole line with Clifford Franklin, then go do that. If you got to go stick him on the hands. But you need to catch the football. And you did not have Christian Watson catch the football in a major spot. And Amon Green joined us yesterday. He said all the air was taken out of the balloon right after that, even though it was only 7-0 at the game at that point. Aaron Rodgers plays the Bears this week on Sunday Night Football. You remember last year he was screaming at the Bears fans, I own you, I own you, I own you. Now the game is at Lambeau Field this weekend, but Aaron Rodgers and why the Bears rivalry is important to him.
I love the history of this game, and when I got to the squad, Chicago was beating us on the all-time record, and now we're up by 8, I believe. So that does mean a lot to me.
He believes. Cooper Rush, now the starting quarterback for maybe 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, 7 weeks, 8 weeks, who knows? Just ask Jerry Jones, and he'll probably tell you some math that makes no sense. But here's Cooper Rush before his start up against the Bengals on his mentality entering the QB1 role.
It just comes back to your preparation, because you are going to get thrown in there at a moment's notice like the other night, or for one game or for multiple games. And like in college, he said college, got thrown in there randomly. It comes back to your preparation. All those reps you get with the twos and threes, they all matter, because when you're with the ones, you got to be able to perform, and that's kind of what you draw.
I know that he had a big game last year up against the Vikings. Bengals, though, coming off a loss, I think that's going to be a brutal performance for the Dallas Cowboys this week. Terrell Austin, the Steelers defensive coordinator, Ian Rapoport reported today that the Steelers have officially placed T.J. Watt on injured reserve, and he's likely out for the next 6 weeks. This is Terrell Austin and how the defense changes without T.J. Watt.
Well, I think it's going to change because he's not there. And the things that he does, obviously everybody knows what he does really well, which is a lot of things. But I think structurally we're going to remain the same. We're going to do the things that we think that are good, that are sound fundamentally. And so we're going to go that way. We know we may not get the type of production team you have, but if we get good, solid varsity play, as Mike likes to call it, we're going to be fine.
But you're not going to get anywhere close to if you get 50% of the production of T.J. Watt, you have a pretty damn good football team. Guy's the reigning defensive player of the year. We know how great he is, and we know what he did a year ago on a football field. They made a move, the Steelers, right before the start of the season, which I didn't love the Broncos giving up on this guy because I think he's a very underrated player. Malik Reed is now going to be asked to do a lot. And there was moments in the last 2 years of you watching the Broncos, he made some big plays, and you wonder when you now expand his playing time, not that he's going to be T.J. Watt, not that he's even going to be 50% of T.J. Watt, but he could be a very productive player. Mitch Trubisky on the Steelers offense needing to be more aggressive.
I don't think it was a mindset. I think that's something that just progressed throughout the game. I know when your defense playing that well and they're getting turnovers, you just want to take care of the football. But we got to have that killer mindset, aggressive mentality to really take teams out of the game and just not allow them to keep it close. So I was proud of the way we took care of the football, but you got to have that aggressive mentality to score points. And it's not just the calls. It's got to be everybody on the field. It's got to be a player's mindset.
Now, I know they benefited early from the Minka Fitzpatrick pick six. And they were winning that game for a while, and then it looked like they were about to lose the game, and then Minka made that heck of a play blocking the PAT. A little bit concerning to me. If you're Mitch Trubisky, and his time is now, I think everyone understands inevitably Kenny Pickett's going to take over at some point this year. So he's going to expect a certain something out of his teammates right away to go all the way, you know, all full out, because he may only get 4 or 5 games. But that is bizarre to me how he thought there was a lack of aggressiveness. And I don't think when you go to week one that people aren't aggressive and they aren't jacked up to go play and try to go destroy the other team. It's just the product of what that offense is. Line shaky, Najee Harris banged up, and the quarterback's just not all that. They're not going to win games this year because of Mitch Trubisky. Now, he didn't play poorly, but you're not going to win games because of him. He's going to need to be a game manager. You're going to need to win games because of the defense doing what they did this past Sunday up against the Cincinnati Bengals. Lamar Jackson in Baltimore this weekend up against Tua Tagovailoa and the Miami Dolphins. Last year, the Ravens did lose to the Dolphins. Lamar on how the Dolphins caught them off guard last year by playing zero coverage and how they'll prepare for them this time around.
They just, you know, caught us off guard, really. We haven't really went over defenses doing all up zero against us, like just all up, flat out zero. But I feel we have an answer for it this year. You know, we watched a lot of film of those guys because we don't want it to happen again.
That spread this week, it's Ravens -3.5. If I had to make a play on it, I would lay the 3.5 points with the Ravens. But a lot of betting people that I talk to, when I bring up that game, they go, Dolphins, 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 Dolphins. Ariel Epstein, who's a huge Ravens fan, and she's great with all the betting stuff for Yahoo Sports, I texted her today. I go, who do you like in the game? She goes, well, you know, I'm rooting for the Ravens, but I plus the 3.5 points on the Dolphins. This is a big week for McDaniel and for Tua, because I think last week the takeaway is more so, yes, McDaniel was aggressive on that 4th and 7, but the Patriots' shortcomings on offense and the Patriots' just offense looking like crap. If you then go beat the Ravens this week, that's a team that could win their division this year. That's a team that is a top 5 team, in my opinion, in the AFC. They were my Super Bowl pick, the Baltimore Ravens. Be a heck of a start for Mike McDaniel and Tua Tagovailoa. So Ryan Fitzpatrick and Tom Brady have beef. We played you the Dan Lebatard stuff yesterday with Lebatard talking to Fitzpatrick, and it got a little contentious at the end. This is Ryan Fitzpatrick with the Part of My Take boys, PFT, and then also Big Cat. And this is what Ryan Fitzpatrick had to say about his relationship or lack of it with Tom Brady.
I feel like Brady respects you.
No, zero respect. Really? Would never shake my hand.
Really?
Wait,
he wouldn't shake your hand?
Well, the first time, it just, I mean, I've told this story before, but it just pisses me off because you're in Buffalo, you're playing New England, they're kicking our ass every single year, they're beating us, and we finally, in 2011, knocked them off. It was right at the beginning of the season. We had this, like, great start, and he threw 5 interceptions in the game, which was just wonderful to see, every single one of them. It was like wonderful to see, and run straight off. Like, no handshake, no, you know, quarterback, middle of the field, where the camera's okay. Yeah. Hey, stay healthy, buddy, you know, pat me on the head and let me go. Like, just ran straight off. So it just, it bothered me so much. because there was no respect there.
Yeah.
And so it was like every time I played him after that, I was like, all right, like I at least got, like, let's make this dude respect me.
Let me get the small violin out. I've said this before. I don't care in professional sports if someone doesn't shake hands after a game. I do not care. Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, I like Ryan Fitzpatrick, but I've had enough of Ryan Fitzpatrick. We talk so much about Ryan Fitzpatrick. The dude has never even made the playoffs. The one time he made the playoffs was last year when he was a fan going to the game in Buffalo with the shirt off. Like, lovable personality, but there, come on. Yeah, let me go play the small violin. Oh, Brady didn't shake my hand. Oh, Brady didn't shake my hand. Give me a break. John Calipari and new Louisville head basketball coach Kenny Payne. Remember Mark Stoops? Calipari got into it a few weeks ago. Stoops wasn't happy that Calipari referred to Kentucky as a basketball school, which it is. Listen about the state of Kentucky, being a basketball state, Kentucky being a basketball state. Listen up to this exchange.
To have an equal playing field, what better state than this one? This is a basketball state. I mean, it's the best of the best.
Careful.
Right.
I just said state. I said state. I didn't say program.
Now.
So we want to clarify the
all I'm saying is our football program, who I've been, they're seventh in the country. So let's be fair. Thank you, Kenny.
I said state.
Right. That's right.
I don't want to get in there.
That's Calipari saying, see, I'm not the only one that thinks Kentucky is a basketball school. And then, yeah, you obviously had Kenny Payne going, oh, yeah, basketball state, nice little way of wording it. That was such a ridiculous thing. I get it. Your Mark Stoops done a great job at that program. We have so much respect for the Kentucky football program. We've had their players on for years and Coach Stoops on a bunch of times. How that became a big deal was wild. And you know it has to annoy Calipari because he wasn't wrong. It is a basketball school. Now, you can still have success in football, but you are known as a basketball school. So I love the way that was brought back up.